Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's an honor to serve the living God, the living and true God. Many people seem so dedicated, but they've been told lies. And their false religions give them nothing. But it's an honor to serve the truth. And I pray that the Lord will open the eyes of every person out there that would love to believe on Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you protect every soul that you know will hear and have ears to hear. Only if they had somebody to tell them the truth of God's word. And I pray that you send laborers to their ears to teach them, to show them the way. Everybody that can be saved, I desire that they become saved and not get caught up with the lies of this world. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. I pray that you'll activate many laborers to take the gospel where it needs to go, to people's ears that would love to know the truth of God's word. Activate laborers that are nearby that can be a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name. See, the Lord honors our prayers. You can be bold to pray because your prayers avail much. They mean a lot to God. And God will, he see the needs and he is active when it comes to the prayers of his people. Your prayers activate God, and God can do all things. And we can do all things through Christ. Just like we pray for God to use somebody else, pray that you'll be used of him as well. It's very important. The Lord loves us. It's all about love. Jesus said, if your eye be single, in Matthew chapter 6, your whole body will be full of light. And when you follow him and go forward, like I always talk about, and you will find out that you can do things that you thought you could not do. And you can be a blessing that you thought you could not be. And so can anybody who will follow the Lord, rely on the Lord, and obey him. Easy. It's easy. It was easy for Samson to slay his enemy because God was with him. He was anointed. The angel didn't come and say that he'll be a Nazarite, but he'll have to figure out how to kill 5,000 Philistines within his lifetime. He didn't say that. He said he would be a Nazarite, and he was anointed to kill. And the Lord showed him, the angel taught his parents how he was supposed to operate in covenant to his anointing. See, it always takes faith. He wasn't supposed to eat grapes or drink wine. And he was supposed to never cut his hair. That would have broken the covenant. But even in captivity, he grew his hair back and he didn't cut it. And the Lord honored his faith. And he pushed those pillars and he killed more in his death than in his life. And so one day I calculated how many that was. It gave a number of how many died. It was in all, it would have been about 5,000. And that's the five is the number of judgment. And also, he was a judge. So Samson did what he was anointed to do. Now, some people will say, well, killing people don't seem like that would honor God. Well, God had to destroy and move the enemy out of you, out of the path, so that Jesus Christ could be born and come. The Philistines had set themselves up to be an enemy. And when he killed all those people, it astonished them. A lot of the people that would have been a problem were dead. And he did it out in the open. They couldn't do anything with him. And they realized that they were fighting against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they began to leave him alone for a while. See, you have to break Satan's pattern. Sometimes people have to die for that to happen, especially in the days of old. But now that Christ has come, we can fight a better way. We have a new and better covenant. I fight all the time, but I rebuke the enemy with the words of my mouth. And he can't go past that. We all have, if you believe on Jesus, you have the authority. And you can speak the word now. You don't have to go and cut somebody's throat. You can stop Satan and people will live. Your aggressors will be put to confusion. The Lord taught me that when you stop Satan, men are not that hard to deal with. When people are motivated by a demon, they can be treacherous, they can be deadly, they will kill you. But when you tell Satan you can't do this and you can't do that, there's nothing he can do about it. When people harden their heart, then they're separating themselves from God. And why are their hearts hardened? What happened? When you remove Satan, then you can minister life sometimes. When you remove Satan, you can remove his deception. You can begin to help people see a better way of life. Some will listen, some will not. Some will get saved and go back to the world. But there are those out there stranded in the world system. And my prayer is that God will send laborers. Now, the rapture is about to happen, and I believe in the rapture. And the Lord's going to take people that have made up their mind to follow him. People that love the world, he's going to leave them here. I'm not afraid to say it because that's what he said. In fact, he said it in a bolder way than I did. He's going to spit them out of his mouth. In one church, he said he was going to keep them from the hour of temptation if they would continue to do what they were doing. The rapture is conditional. And people that love this world more than God, to the point that they act on it, they're not going to be raptured. Because the love of the world is enmity against God. Now, how can a person get to that point? The light of the body being the eye. If the eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If it's evil, it'll be full of darkness. The true and precious promises that we can receive, that we do receive, salvation being the first. We receive salvation. We receive the true and precious promises. It depends on the focus of the eye. What charges man's heart? What makes man's day? What does he love the most? Whatever you love the most, that's what you serve the most. When you hear the word of God, whatever part you're attracted to, that's what you'll do. Now, I'm going to put it another way. If you're attracted to the living love of God, and you know that you can be a blessing because of the work of Jesus Christ, and you're enabled to be a blessing to people. Some people are motivated by that kind of love. The other kind of people Daniel wrote about, many of those that do know their Lord will be strong and do exploits. Satan can't do nothing with them, just like we talked about in the last broadcast. And then there are those who love power. And you find out that you can be the head and not the tail if you do these things listed in Deuteronomy, and you can go forward and not backwards. And you want the blessings, and people gravitate to the blessings. Nothing wrong with that. And some people love power. What the Lord put on my heart is to consider what people gravitate to. What do people gravitate to? What's going on? There are people who get saved, and they can fall in love with some of the things that's just not good to fall in love with. preeminence. I talk a lot about that because God hates pride. And there's no sense in people that can operate in the anointing to make the same mistake that Lucifer did. I don't believe in being made aware of a problem and then deciding to continue in that problem. Problems can be killed. They can be destroyed. The Word of God will help you do it. I believe in solving my problem. I don't desire to keep on doing the same problem over and over again. When people fall away from grace, they fall from it. And then they run from it. I've seen people do all kind of things. I've heard about people that have done things. And I would love to forget about some of the things that I actually heard about. Because nobody needs to do God wrong. No man needs to do another man wrong. It's not necessary. Preeminent people disqualify people. The love of God never disqualifies anyone. And I want to, you know, I endeavor to do what God is doing. I even had a message one time that said, I want to be just like God. You know, when a 5-year-old son looks up to his father, he want to be just like his daddy. What you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be just like my dad. And they look up. I looked up to my father. I thought a lot of him. I still do. And I look at people with the eyes of potential. I see what people could be. I see people make negative choices. And I say, I imagine how wonderful it would be if they didn't make negative choices. Because God treats people like He believes in them. He always treated me like He believed in me. Always. And He always acted like I could make the right choices and follow through with them. And so did my parents. You know, your parents, your first authority figure, shaped the way you see God. Anybody you look up to. And the young that are looking to you can be blessed, but if you act in a preeminent manner, or if you act like they'll always be a nobody, not unimportant. Or if, and some parents I've even heard of, they're jealous against their children. They speak against their children. They're jealous against them. They don't want them to do better than they did. When the first time I heard of that, I thought that was crazy. I even struggled to believe that it exists till I began to see it. And then it just kind of broke my heart when I did see it. Preeminence it disqualifies others only for pride. The Lord has given us wonderful, true, and precious promises, but He didn't give us not one true and precious promise, the anointing, offices, ministries, to belittle other people. That's the kind of Laodicean activity He's going to spit out of His mouth. That's the kind of thing He hates. And when you do it in the sight of others that's looking up to you, they begin to think it's okay, and it's not. When people are attracted to power, being first, they stop serving. They don't think like a servant. That's the leaven of the Pharisees that God hates. That's what He's undoing. And it's so subtle. It's so evil. One of the worst things you can do is try to hide it. The best thing you can do is turn your heart. Start looking at the Lord and how he does things. The Lord told me something. He said people can backslide at any stage. You know, we grow from glory to glory, but if you start looking at the world somewhere and lusting after worldly operations, you can fall far from the Lord and not even realize it. But when you go in his presence, you begin to see things as they truly are. When you're in his presence, you know where you are. You know, you begin to see yourself as you really are. When you study the word, not to preach, but when you're receiving God's word, you're just studying to build your life up. When you see things, do something about it. I listen to the word so that I can choose to do what's right. I'm built up, I'm strengthened. And I present myself to the Lord a living sacrifice. Now I know how the enemy operates. So sometimes I say, Lord, how am I doing? And I ask him questions to make sure that there's not something going on that I don't see. That's why we go to the doctor to get checkup, to make sure that there's not something forming that we don't want. Now, I don't want to be doing something and it's not good and I don't know it. So from time to time, I ask the Lord, I said, Lord, how is everything going? I said, Lord, I asked him a question. I said, Lord, do I ever do things that just... That you really wish I wouldn't do, and I don't realize it. And he tell me things too. Personal things. See, worship is not just honoring God, it's also making adjustments. In order for me to really do what he want me to do and live right and live according to the word, I have to make adjustments. And I'm willing to do it. But I can't do it without him. Sometimes I need the insight of the Holy Spirit to point me in the right direction. Even though I fill my heart with God's word, I can only receive it as I understand it. I mean, I receive it, but when I understand it, now I can control what I'm doing. I can make sober choices, what I'm trying to say. So it's important. And the Lord loves me and I trust him. I trust him with me. So I ask him questions. How can I do things better? And he showed me. He teach me things about me that man can't teach me. When people are, when they get in pride enough to the point that they can, when they're angry, when somebody seems to do well that they didn't expect, that's a problem. That's something you don't want in your life. That's not God's heart. A lazy disposition is not God's heart. When you have the life of God in you, it makes you want to do things. And I had to make some other adjustments. I said, Lord, is there anything that I could just do better? Anything that I could just stand to change? And he taught me something. It took him 3 days to get this point over to me, but he did. He said, you try to push my will. And I do. I see his point. He's concerned about me. It's just like I want to do what's important. He wants me to take care of myself too. I started going back to the gym this week. And he told me to go back to the gym 2 years ago. And I did. And then I got real busy and I stopped going. And that I was out of his will, the way I was doing things. I was doing things he really didn't ask me to do. I should have continued to go to the gym. Just take time for myself. Breathe a little bit. You're more useful to God if you do things the right way. Your life is not supposed to become out of balance. You're supposed to live and enjoy things, to do some things you want. It's all right. Receive some of the things you want. People are dying in other places, and they, you know, if they need your help, but you got to buy the car you want. You got to do some of the things you want. There's a balance to it. You need things. Get things that you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you'll have the balance, and you'll be able to be a blessing, and you'll be able to breathe a little bit. God didn't ask you to do sacrifice everything. Just put him first, and things will get in order. If you overdo, you can overdo anything, and it'll make people draw back. But if your life is a well-oiled machine, you will attract more people. It's kind of like a person that's so busy they don't change the oil in their car. Eventually, they're not going to have a car. If you're so busy, you don't eat right or sleep right, or you don't take time and just do some of the things you want to do, you're not going to, something's going to break. And some people are dead. Like the man that was helping Paul. He was way out of balance, and he almost died. And nobody else was picking up the load. He tried to do everything and almost died. And Paul prayed for him. And the Lord let us see, you know, what was going on. You can do too much of one thing and still get cancer. You overwork your body and still have health problems. You have to take time. If I'm going to be around doing whatever it is God wants me to do, I got to take care of my temple, my body. Now, you do have authority in Christ. You do have true and precious promises. You can believe the Lord for whatever you want. You can ask what you will, it'll be done. Now, with all that in mind, a person that loves the Lord and they're looking at him first, what kind of prayers will he pray? What will he do? You know, in a balanced way, he'll ask the Lord to help him live a balanced life and be a blessing wherever he can, and not miss out on opportunities to be a blessing like a ship in the night. You know, ships in the night are huge, and they pass right by each other on a big ocean where you can't see far. I mean, you can look around for miles and not see what's out there. The curvature of the earth, you can see 30 miles out. And you can't see what's out there 30 miles out. I was in Gulf Shores. And then I was standing on the beach. And I looked 30 miles out. And I didn't see nothing but water. But at night, I saw the oil rig lights. And they were just 30 miles away. And I didn't see them because of the curvature of the ocean. So ships in the night, 30 miles out, you can't see another ship. Unless there's lights on. See, if they're closer to the water than that oil rig, you may see a glow, you may see nothing. 40 miles out, ships in the night. Sometimes there are people nearby. You have to pray for the Holy Spirit to help you minister to people at their most strategic and needful times. But if you always say an encouraging word to people, if you always put others first, if you always seek to be a blessing, you'll miss less opportunities to help people. And everybody you encourage, when they start growing the right way, they may not be like Kenneth Hagin or Billy Graham, but then again, they might be. They'll do what God wants them to do. If they get, remember, everybody who gets saved, they get saved in public. Salvation is public. If you get saved and don't tell anybody, the way you live is public. When you start treating people right, loving people, and the Lord opened the door for you to share your testimony, it's public. And it's on purpose. And people change. I went to a young girl's funeral, and over 300 people came. And most of them said what a blessing she was, how she loved God. One person can gather, can be a blessing. They know thousands of people. And her, and the people that she knew in Bessemer packed the church out. And I didn't even go. I heard about it. I said, you know, one person that loves Jesus, you know, can gather, can be a blessing to many people. Now, then consider how they're going to talk and how they're going to grow. And then how the influence on their children, their family, their parents. When a child gets saved, teenager, child, grown person, and their parents are still living, they know that child better than anybody else. And then they see Jesus in that child. And now they begin to take Jesus serious. He's not just a character they heard about. Sometimes people look over in the world and they want to be preeminent. Or they act in ways that God didn't do. You know, Jesus is like he is in the Word. And he thinks of everything. When you go in his presence, just conform to his will. Receive him. You received him as a Savior. Now receive him as your brother, as your leader, as your king. Some people want to receive Jesus as a Savior and ignore him as a king. Don't ignore him as a king. Receive him as an example. Do what he did. He said, he that believe, greater works will he do, because I go to my Father. Do greater works than Jesus did. He wants you to. He set you up to. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Don't look at human standards. That's why people don't follow God. They're trying to be like others. Stop trying to be like others. Try to be like you in the name of Jesus. Live according to his name. Look at him. Grow from glory to glory. Present yourself a living sacrifice. These are the things that if you do, you're going to be most blessed. Put yourself in a position to be a blessing. Work as under God. Become wealthy so that you'll have to give. That's God's plan. All right, if you're an apostle, be a servant. Go out there and make your calling and election sure. Hiding in a comfortable office doesn't make sense to me. If I'm really an apostle, that means I have an office that I can serve with. And there's a method that God will help me, he'll reveal to me so I can do it. And then there's an anointing that will give me God's ability to do his work. I don't have an excuse. I don't have any excuse to sit back in a comfortable, cushy office and do nothing. I can't hide behind the badge of a calling. If I have a calling, I'm going to use it. I'm going to work while it's day. I'm going to serve my brothers and sisters. If I can do anything, say anything at all, I'm going to do it while I got strength in my body. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what my Savior did. He's my King. Somebody did on YouTube. That's my King. Go on YouTube and type in, that's my King. A preacher taught this wonderful. Man, I send this message to people I love. And it's honoring Jesus, my King. That's my King on YouTube. God is good, folks. I don't like to see people miss out on God's best. That's not necessary. You don't have to do what Diotrephes did and not want John around. You don't have to do what Demas did and go back to the world, because times got a little tough and the world was waving at you. You don't have to do what Lucifer did and betray God and his anointing and his purpose. God made him a judge, and he stooped down low and became an accuser. You don't have to be like the angels who left their first estate and married women and had giant children. You don't have to be phony. But go forward in the love of God and grow from glory to glory. There's nothing more that I treasure. And the Lord my God and King, he loves us. Don't fall away from your best works. Do what God said do. Honor him with everything you got, with all that you are and all that you can be. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He loves us all. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.